from the Nevi'im, because the Nevi Zechariah refers to four Tanaisim that Bisman Habayis are going to become a Sussain and Simcha. We have what is called, and they're referred to by the month. Tzayim HaRevi, the fast of the fourth month, which is Tammuz, Tzayim HaChamishi, which is Av, Tzayim HaShvi, which is Tzayim Gedalia, counting from Nisan, and Tzayim HaAsiri, which is Asara B'Teves, happens to be Teves. So these days will be Sussain and Simcha, and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that Bizman HaMikdash, these actually were Yimei Simcha, Bizman of Shmad, they are a Chiyuv Meikir Hadin, and the Gemara has a category, if there's no Shalim and there's no Gezeira, so they are Midin, either Drabanan or Mitam Minog. So again, this Machlokas, how do you characterize our time today? Meaning, our time might either be Ein Shalom V'Ein Shmad, or perhaps since in some countries, some places, there's Shmad and Sakana. So the Nafkamina would be, if the reason we fast today is Mitam Takanas Chachamin, or Minog even, or Mitam Takanas Nevi'im, right? So that's going to be a Machlokas, how you characterize our time. But be it as it may, it is a Tainus. And what is the Shaykhets, what is the Tainus of Zerah B'Teves? This was the day that Nebuchadnezzar began his siege against Jerusalem. So it's interesting that unlike Shivas or Batamas and Tisha B'Av, which have a Shaykhus both to the Mikdash Rishon and the Mikdash Sheni, Asara B'Teves is only Shaykh to the Mikdash Rishon. There was no parallel thing that happened on that date in the Mikdash Sheni. So Asara B'Teves is Makusher to the Mikdash Rishon. Of course, Tzom Gedalia is also Makusha to the Mikdash Rishon. Gedalia ben Achikam was killed 2 months after the Chorban Bayis Rishon. So you might ask a simple kasha before I get to Rav Chaim. L'chaira, why are we still misabel the Bayis Rishon? Because we lost the Bayis Rishon, we got the Bayis Sheni. So, in effect, the Chorban of the Bayis Rishon was undone. So I should only have Tanesim for the Bayis Sheni. Why am I still Misabel over the Bayis Rishon? But the answer would be Pashat. The answer is the Chorban Bayis Rishon was in fact never undone, because the Chorban Bayis Rishon was not replaced by the Bayis Sheni, because in many ways, although the Bayis Sheni lasted 10 more years, 420 instead of 410, but the Ruach HaKodesh and the Nebuah of the Bayis Rishon never came back. So in a sense, therefore, it's kind of loizu apsu, meaning we're mourning the Bayis Sheni, but even if the Eibishter would give us back a Bayis Sheni that we had, we would still be an Avelis. That's why the Rambam says...
But during the second Mishnah,
it is a kind of... The Rambam learns in Perish of Mishnayos, interestingly enough, that they fasted on Tisha B'Av during the Bayis Sheni. Now, why didn't they do Asara B'Teves? Is a good kasha. But the Rambam says that Tisha B'Av Gufa, they fasted even during the Bayis Sheni, because, well, the Rambam gives a reason, because Tisha B'Av has other tzaras. It was Nikzer that the Dor HaMidbar would die. But someone learned that the reason would be because even in the Mikdash Sheni, you're misabel over the Mikdash Rishon. But L'chor, you're right. I mean, the kasha would be if you go with that svara, then we ought to have Asara B'Teves as well as even Tzom Gedalia as well. Now, Shiva Sarba Tammuz, interestingly enough, although there was something in Tammuz that was Nogeya the Mikdash Rishon, it was not on the 17th. Right? Hufka Ha'ir, breaking into the wall of Yerushalayim in the first Mikdash, was on the 9th of Tammuz. It's interesting. Chazal didn't want to be Koveya 9 and 17, so they made it only the 17th. Okay. But it is a good kasha. But at least L'chol HaPachas, you see, according to the Rambam, that there was a Tzad Avelis even Bizman HaBayis Sheni on the Chorban of the Bayis of the Bayis Rishon. It's interesting, though, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives you compensations. Rav Tzadik writes that Hagam that the Bayis Sheni, we lost the Koach of Nevuah. There was no Nevuah the Bayis Sheni. The last Nevi'im are Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachim. These Nevi'im at the very beginning of the building of the Bayis Sheni. And as soon as the Bayis Sheni was finished and these Nevi'im were nifter shortly thereafter, there was no Nevuah in Kol Yisrael. We mamish lost the idea of Nevuah. But Rav Tzadik points out that the Tekufas Bayis Sheni is the great Tekufa of Tirish Abal Peh. because the Mishnah was written after the Korban Bayis Sheni, even more so the Gemara, but many of the Tanoim, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, right? So the Pshat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu replaced the Kayach of Nevuah with the Kayach of the Pilpul of Torah, the Svara, the discussion. And in the Bayis Rishon, you don't have that much Torah Shabbal Peh, in the sense that in the Bayis Rishon, we transmitted all the halachas that were given to Moshe Mishinai, and the Nevi'im gave Haysafas, Musar, Taichacha, guidance. But in terms of what you might call the creative halachic process of developing halacha by Svara, by Pilpul, by Shakla Vitaria, that you actually don't have in the Bayis Rishon that much. So the Bayis Rishon is the Tekufa of Nevuah, and the Bayis Sheni is the Tekufa of Torah Shebal Peh.
Wasn't it in the past, the only reason there was all that
pilpul
is because they lost, like they didn't know what
halacha was. So it goes into a few things. Number one, on one level, the need for pilpul, the need for shakla vitaria, the need for debate and discussion, which is gairam machlekes, comes from a chisaron in madrega. It's a chisaron in madrega because when you had clarity, when you had nevuah, etc., even though nevuah is not machriya in halacha, but you have that direct connection to Hashem, you have less uncertainty, less confusion, you're on a higher madrega. But in the erida of having to be mefalpel, we become shutfim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the yetzira of Torah. In other words, there's a certain madrega that one gets precisely from having to grope into the confusion. So it's a subtle idea that on one hand there was a loss of madrega, on the other hand we gained a certain partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the yetzira of Torah. Yeah.
Doesn't the Rambam say a piece about the Mishnayos that the idea that there's machlokas is not because they also had a back and forth when they used to try to decide halacha? It was just that they were able to be machlokas. Everyone was able to agree at some point with the other. Afterwards, there was still the same talk about back and forth, but no one was able to agree with each other. So you still had
So according to that, although it's not clear that the Rambam is talking about the Bayis Rishon. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Rambam seems to be saying that they had the same process, but they were able to make a final decision in the Sanhedrin. Later, they couldn't even decide in the Sanhedrin, so they left it to different Rabbanim, different Rabbeim, different Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, because they couldn't come to a consensus or a definite vote. But Rav Tzadok seems to say differently. Rav Tzadok is talking, learning that in the Bayis Rishon Bechlal, there was less of a pu'ula of Torah Shebal Peh. Everything was al-pi nevuah, so to speak. Okay. See, the Rambam Lashitasa can't learn that way, because the Rambam learns all the Gemaras that Nevi'im have no role in Halacha. So Al-Karchach, Halacha came through Pilpul, even in the Bayis Rishon. Rav Tzadok learns differently. He learns that that in the Bayis Rishon, Nevuah had a certain kayach in Halacha that it didn't have later. Okay, so be it as it may, though, it does mean that Asar B'Teves is an Avelis over the Bayis Rishon, over the Churban Bayis Rishon. Now, another thing that's interesting is, though, that the Gemara says that really we should be fasting 3 days in a row. The 8th of Teves, the 9th of Teves, and the 10th of Teves. But Chazal didn't want to be misaking 3 days or even 2 days. So Asar B'Teves is Kailel Avelis for 8 and 9 as well. What happened on 8 and 9? So 8 and 9 are later events. On the 8th is the yard site of Ezra. Ezra HaSefer, that was Miyasid. Actually, Ezra didn't build the Bayis Sheni. Ezra came after the Bayis Sheni. But Ezra was Miyasid, the Anshei Knesset HaGdeila, all of the Takanas, all of the Gezeras, the Nusach of Tefillah. In fact, Ezra is really the prototype of Torah Shebal Peh, in a sense, so it's interesting. If the Churban Bayis Rishon is the resurgence of Torah Shebal Peh, Ezra's Matira is a great loss of the union of Torah Shebal Peh. And the Gemara says that Ezra was Shokol Kamesha V'Yaret, that was the Madrega, that had the door been Roy Lakach, Ezra could have been the Makabel HaTaira, the Nisan HaTaira. And Ezra died on the 8th. And on the 9th, we have a later event, and that is after the Greeks had conquered Eretz Israel. And remember the Hanukkah story, Alexander's empire was split between the Ptolemaic dynasty of Egypt and the Seleucid dynasty of Yavan, of Syria. Antiochus comes from Syria, and it goes back and forth. The Hanukkah story is under Antiochus' reign, but before Antiochus, we were under the Ptolemaic dynasty, Ptolemy HaMelech, in Egypt. And in Alexandria, there was the great, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world was their great library. You may have heard of it. It was like the ancient Library of Congress. They had to have every book that existed. And that is the Mice of Maseches Megillah that Talmai commissioned a translation of the Torah into Yavanis. And 70 Zakenim were put in different rooms and they translated the Torah. And there was a miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them come out exactly the same. And that's called Targum HaShivim, the Targum of the 70. It's referred to in secular literature, biblical literature, as the Septuagint, the Targum HaShivim. It's just Greek for the translation of the 70. And the Gemara says that, I'm sorry, the Medrash says, no, the Medrash says that the day that this Targum was completed, Cheshech V'Afela Yorda L'Yoylam. And it was complete on the 9th of Teves, and the Melev, it was a day that was Roy for fasting. An amazing thing. So that's the latest of the events, right? So the 10th of Teves is the beginning of the siege of Yerushalayim, Bimei Nebuchadnezzar. Then you have the Petira of Ezra HaSeifer, and then you have the completion of the Targum HaShivim. What's so tragic about the Targum HaShivim? Now, just to give you an example of how different people looked at it differently, you know, you remember from the Gemara in Sukkah that there was a tremendous Jewish population in Alexandria. Remember the famous Gemara about the huge, huge shul in Alexandria. It was so huge there, they didn't have a microphone, so they couldn't hear the chazan, so they had flags. And it was a very wealthy shul. You know, people sat on thrones and gold chairs and all sorts of things like that. So the community of Alexandria were actually very, very assimilated. And when the Targum HaShivim was completed, they actually made a Yom Tov. They actually made a holiday. In fact, for hundreds of years, it was a holiday in Alexandria to celebrate the translation of the Torah into Greek. Many Jews in Alexandria didn't know how to read Hebrew. Many were not Shomer Mitzvahs, but even those who were, I mean, they were Hellenists. In other words, the Hellenism was very, very strong in Alexandria. The Hanukkah Hellenism that the Hashmonaim fought against, that is what Alexandrian Jewish culture was. There was a famous Jewish Greek philosopher who was a Shomer Mitzvahs, Philo of Alexandria. His Hebrew name was Yedidiah, although he doesn't go by, he's not referred to as Yedidiah. And Yedidiah wrote books on the Chumash, wrote books on Judaism, which are not regarded as Sifrei Kodesh, but it's the same time as the Tanoim, Mamish. And some have suggested, we don't really know for sure, even he, who was a religious Jew, and he knew a lot of things, may not have known how to read Hebrew. This is what they say. Ad Kedei Kach was that level of Amoratis. And he was the most learned. He was the biggest Lamdan in Alexandria. So they made it a Simcha. The Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, they look at it as a tragedy. What's the big tragedy? What's Kefela? Translate the Torah into Greek. What's so bad about that? I mean, these were Chachamim, right? These were Chachamim. These were not, Christians or whatever it was. I mean, there weren't any Christians then anyway. This was around 300 years before Christianity. This is more than 100 years before Hanukkah. This is the beginning of the Bayit Sheni. So there are different pshatim. Some say that the Chisarin was that Chazal are bemoaning the fact that so many Yidden needed this translation. That so many Yidden couldn't read Hebrew, they didn't know Lashon HaKodesh, that they have to get the Torah from a translation, which by definition, even if it's a good translation, it cannot capture the Ayin Panim LaTorah. A translation, right, the Torah has infinite meanings. A translation is picking one of those meanings and communicating it. You're mops at everything else. I remember when Art Scroll first came out, this is really amazing. Art Scroll was an amazing thing. You know, Art Scroll was an invitation company. Meir Zlatowitz is a graphic artist. So they did invitations, ksuvas. This is like 1981. And what happened was Zlatowitz had a friend that was Nifter. So Zlatowitz said, all right, he'll put out a little Megillas Esther with some fortune, just L'Zecher Nishmasa. So it was intended to be Megillas Esther, and that was it. A one-time Megillas Esther. And then he would get back to the invitation business. By the way, Art Scroll still has an invitation business, but that was Art Scroll. Art Scroll Studios was a graphic artist, invitation, wedding invitations. And what happened was, I mean, the rest is history. I mean, you see the Gevaldige Siyata Dishmaya, the Arbat Zatzairah, not only Tanakh, Chumash, and, you know, but Shas, and Medrash, and Yerushalmi, and all of these inyanim. that Nifter, Rav Meir Vogel, I remember his name, was getting a lot of schar in Olam Haba as being the catalyst for this tremendous, tremendous Harbatz Astira. But I do remember this. I do remember that when the Megillas Esther came out, people were excited, even though there was some Sina, but this was like Frum, and this was Al-Pi Chazal, and everything else. So people were saying how great it was. So somebody reminded the readers, the Jewish Observer, Alo Hashalom, Mr. Walton was the editor, you may know Rabbi Walton, they said, well, so wait a second here. Chazal were not so happy when the Torah had to be translated into Greek because people couldn't understand Hebrew. So good. So on one hand, you may have to do it. It may be a necessary thing to do. It may be a good thing to do. But a good thing to do doesn't always mean we're happy that with it. The fact that you have to do it doesn't mean that you're happy that you have to do it, in a sense. So they wanted to still sue that. That was one chisarin. Another chisarin, yeah.
And when Chazal say that Yefes, that the Torah could be translated to Greek, that was one of the rewards of Yefes. I mean, that was with Yevet?
That was with the Yevet. That was with the Yevet. Meaning to say, if it's going to be translated, Greek is a proper language. By the way, that's why the Gemara says, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the Torah can only be written in Ksav Ashuris or Yevanis. So you think, you know, who would ever write a Torah in Greek? Why would you write a Torah in Greek? And the answer is that, again, there's some evidence that in this basic Knesset of Alexandria, they read the Torah in Greek. They read a Greek Sefer Torah. I don't think we found it. I don't think we have any Seamus, any Geniza of a Sefer Torah written in Yevanis.
Why did they have to translate it then? They already had it one in Greek.
No, this was after. In other words, that happened afterwards. In other words, as a result of the Targum, they used it to write Sefer Torah. But without that Targum, they wouldn't have been able to do it. Another pshat is the other way around, that the Chisarin with the Targum HaShivim was not that Yidden had to read it, but it made it more accessible to Goyim. And once Goyim have their hands on the Torah Shebichsav, they can put in all sorts of ideas. But that's part of why Torah Shebichsav was not written down. Part of why Torah Shebichsav was not written down was to keep it within Klal Yisrael, so it would not be available to the Hashpos of Umay Sa'ilam. Again, of course, one can ask Kasha, because Pupakir, Moshe Rabbeinu himself was commanded to write the Torah in Shivim Lashonis. I mean, what happened to that? In other words, was that lost? I mean, did Shivim Lashonis include Greek, or maybe that was an ancient Greek? And I mean, by Talmai, it was still called ancient Greek. But maybe there was an earlier form of Greek, and you know, what exactly was the Lashon. But besides that, besides the fact that Lachar, there already was such a translation, but one could also ask about Piyashtapa. If Moshe was told to write the Torah of B'Shivim Lashon, that means Faker, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Umos HaOlam to know the contents of the Torah. Of course, you can ask another country, you're not supposed to teach a guy Torah. One can ask a whole bunch in there. There are a lot of contradictions here. On one end, we're told that a Yid is not supposed to teach a guy Torah. Now, we have a Torah, my Sebrachus, stories of the Torah, but generally speaking, you don't teach a guy Torah unless he's in a Mahalach Hageris. And yet, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to write the Torah B'Shivim Lashon, so L'chaira, the nations of the world, should know the holiness of the Torah, the greatness of the Torah. So some want to bring a riot from that the issue of teaching a guy Torah is only Torah Shebal Peh, not Torah Shebichsav. Moshe gave them Torah Shebichsav. Good, so that's a good teretz for that problem of teaching a guy Torah. But it's still a problem, because the Targum HaShivim was only Torah Shebichsav, and that's condemned, and that's sad, and that's tragic, when in point of fact, that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did.
Could you answer that by Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a certain kavana behind it, which came by the Yevonim. The kavana was to not to uplift the Torah, which was the kavana by Moshe Rabbeinu's Ksiva, but over here it was not to put it down, to make
Right, it could be that's correct. It all depends on what is the motivation and what is the genesis. We might think superficially a translation is a translation. So number one, Moshe Rabbeinu's translation is by definition going to be different. It could be that he was able to be machnes all sorts of kavanas. And number two, the kavana, as you say, was to elevate. And you know, that itself could affect the spiritual hashva of the final product.
When he condemned Moses Mendelssohn for translating in German, he did it himself. You could say the same thing, that like,
yeah.
he did it to make the Jews more like, You know why Moshe
Yeah.
The Gemara took this as an order that the guy, Hashem was giving them one last chance if you want to come and convert. Hashem was basically giving them the trust to the guy. So, okay, Hashem said you can't teach a guy Torah, but I want them to have the chance.
Give them a
Hashem
chance.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you an interesting thing about Mendelssohn. You know, Moses Mendelssohn, who personally was a Shomer Mitzvah, but Moses Mendelssohn was the founder of Haskalah. I mean, I don't know if he envisioned himself as founding a movement, but he was the one who went to university, became a very well-known philosopher in German secular circles. So he translated and wrote a Perush on the Torah, which incorporated a lot of Chazals, etc. This is the translation of the Torah into German. Initially, some Gedolim gave him a Haskama, but eventually most Gedolim withdrew it. And you're raising the issue of Rav Hirsch, who translated it into German. Listen to this chilek that some people say. Moses Mendelssohn translated the Torah into German, used writing German in Hebrew letters, like Yiddish. Rav Hirsch translated the Torah into German using Latin letters, in other words, using the German letters, which is the same. So you might say, well, so doesn't that make Moses Mendelssohn better? No, listen to this chap. He says, Rav Hirsch was writing only for people who already knew German, people who already were assimilated, people who already were. So Memela, this will bring them back to Torah. Moses Mendelssohn's tachnit was that Yidden should be able to learn German by reading it in Hebrew letters, and that would be a Pesach to draw them out. So this was actually a very significant issue. Writing the German translation in Hebrew letters was actually seen as an assimilation ploy so that Jews would learn German and be able to go to secular fields.
Why is that any worse than like Targum Onkelos that wrote into Aramaic in Hebrew letters? I mean, if people weren't fluent in Aramaic prior to that,
Well, the problem is Aramaic is the same alphabet as Hebrew. That's the problem.
That was his dialect.
And besides, Aramaic is very different because you have to understand. Aramaic was the spoken language of the Jews already. In other words, it was similar more to Rav Hirsch, people who knew German. Unkelos did not train people in the Aramaic language. He was writing in the language that they spoke. More Jews in the Bayis Sheni spoke Aramaic than Hebrew. That's why you find the Gemara in Megillah. Remember? When Rebbe's Talmidim are learning Pesukim Tanakh and they don't know what the Hebrew was, they don't know the Teich, they would ask Rebbe's maidservants. Because Rebbe spoke Hebrew in his house. Rebbe was a Zionist in that sense, not Ivrit, but Lashon HaKodesh. But the average Jew in the street, the average Yid in the street did not speak Lashon HaKodesh. He spoke Aramaic. So it's a very different thing. So Unkelos did not cause Jews to forget Hebrew. He was dealing with Jews who didn't know Hebrew. That's that much. But Mendelssohn was talking to a Jewish population that Taka didn't know German. And German was a key Pesach to assimilation and other things. So this was actually a tiger that the Negev Yehuda, they tiger. Why did you want to write something for Jews who don't know Hebrew, that's fine. But obviously you're writing for Jews who know kind of Hebrew. So what are you doing in the German for? What's the purpose? That was actually a tiger. Okay. But be it as it may, these are the three Chorbanos that we're thinking about as Torah B'Tavis. Now, the Avudram says, Avudram was a Rishon shortly before the time of the Beis Yosef, and the Avudram says that Asara B'Teves is unique among the fast days because not only do we fast on Erev Shabbos, which we normally don't do, but Lu Yitzur, if the calendar would come out that Asara B'Teves would be on Shabbos, we would actually fast even on Shabbos. Now, it happens to be that's not going to happen because the way our calendar is arranged, B'zman HaZeh, the tens of Teves will never be on Shabbos based on the days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, there's Beis Hashanah, you can project what days can be on what days. There will never be Asar B'Teves on Shabbos. When we were Mekadesh Al Pi Re'iyah, there could be, but of course, when we're Mekadesh Al Pi Re'iyah, we'll have the Beis HaMikdash and you won't have the fast day. Now, the Avudram says, why? What is the makor that we would fast on Asara B'Teves even if it fell out on Shabbos? Even Tisha B'Av, we don't fast when it falls out on Shabbos. We have a Nidche. So Zak the Avudram, because Yecheskel HaNavi was told that the siege against Jerusalem would begin on the 10th of Teves, and he was told to write down the date ahead of time so that when it happens, he could show people and say, this is what Hashem told me. So the lashon that's used is be etzem hayom hazeh samach melech bavel. On that very day, the melech bavel besieged the city, and David Rahm points out that unlike the other fast days that are only defined in terms of the month, chodesh this, chodesh that. So even though they have a date, but melech at Shabbos we could be deicha. Asara B'Teves is defined in terms of a day, B'etzem Hayom Hazeh, and therefore it's not Shayach a din of Nitche and Asara B'Teves. So let me tell you what Rav Chaim says. Rav Chaim says the following Hezbo. First of all, we do have to understand the Svara, because after all, Asara B'Teves might be tragic because a siege began, but one would not assume it's as tragic as Tisha B'Av. I mean, if the Pshat is, forget about the pasuk. Good, you have a pasuk, but what is the lumbus, or what is the svara of that? That if Tisha B'Av is not chomer enough that it's Deicha Shabbos, Asara B'Teves is Deicha Shabbos. I'll get to that. But Rav Chaim is Masber like this. Rav Chaim is Masber. Let's say Tisha B'Av, right? Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, so it's a Nitche. So the way we learn is the following. How do we understand? We say the following. The first principle is you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, because that's a stira to Einik Shabbos. Once you're not allowed to fast, mimela we have to be deicha. In other words, the pashtus of how you learn the relationship between not fasting on Shabbos and being deicha to Sunday is that your first principle is you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. Your second principle is, since I'm not allowed to fast on Shabbos, I got to be deicha. Rav Chaim claims that the principles are in fact reversed. Meaning, a fast that can be nitche, you can't do on Shabbos. But a fast which if you didn't do it today, you wouldn't be able to make it up, you can fast even on Shabbos. So, b'etzem hayom hazeh, Rav Chaim says, isn't telling me you fast on Shabbos. It's telling me this is a fast that can only be today, and if you don't do it today, you won't be able to do it at all. In other words, it's really telling me you can't make it up. Now, maybe that means when it's on Shabbos, you don't do it at all. In other words, it doesn't tell you what you do on Shabbos. It's just telling you this is a fast day that does not have a makeup date. Rav Chaim then says, any fast that has no tashlumin, meaning any fast which if you don't do today, you won't be able to do later, azah fast is Deicha Shabbos. Rav Chaim, you'll see why he says this. Rav Chaim is reversing it, meaning to say, it's not the pshat, I'm not allowed to fast, and that's why it's nitcha. The other way around, I first ask myself, is this a reschedulable, there's such a word, fast? If it's a fast that can be rescheduled, then it's usher to fast on Shabbos because you can do the mitzvah later. If it's a fast that if I don't do on Shabbos, I won't be able to do it all, azah fast is not usher on Shabbos. And mimela, the Avud Ram's din is not a direct the Etzem Yom Hazeh is not a direct marker that you must fast on Shabbos. It is a direct makor that this is a fast that doesn't have tashlumin, and once it doesn't have tashlumin, then in Svara, Chazal say, there is no Ezer of Tainis b'Shabbos. In fact, that might even be the Svara of Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur is a direct, so there's a lot of reasons why it's Deicha Shabbos. But the Pshat is, since Yom Kippur doesn't have a makeup date, Mimela, you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. Now, well, because he points out the Yetzem Hayom Hazeh is not referring to the chiyuv of fasting at all. It's just describing this is a tragedy that happened. The Yetzem Hayom Hazeh. So they would. So we're
like trying. How can you fast on Shabbos because of that?
Right. So he's saying that because that tells me this is not you can't. But let me tell you the question. There's a gavaldik akasha in Reb Chaim. Mamish a gavaldik akasha in Reb Chaim from a Gemara in Megillah. Rav Chaim doesn't ask this kasha, but the Achronim ask it Rav Chaim. That is, the Gemara in Megillah says the following. Bikesh Rebbe. Rebbe is after the Churban by Yesheni already, right? Bikesh Rebbe la'akar Tisha B'Av. Rebbe wanted to be oikar Tisha B'Av Lagamri. Not have a fast of Tisha B'Av. Cancel Tisha B'Av Lagamri. So frek the Gemara in Megillah, Why would Rebbe want to be Iker Tisha B'Av? How could he be Iker Tisha B'Av? There's a Chorban. So the Gemara says it means that Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos. So Rebbe wanted to say, Hayo v'nitche, if you can't fast on Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't fast at all. Now the Gemara says, Lo yhaidu lo chachamim, the chachamim are not made. Now, what is Rebbe saying? Rebbe is saying the following. Rebbe holds that even Tisha B'Av, you can only fast on the right day. So what is Rebbe saying? Hayo v'nitche, yitche. But l'chayra, according to Rav Chaim's Lomdus, you should have the opposite conclusion. If Rebbe holds that Tisha B'Av is not shayach to be a nitche, instead of concluding, therefore, we can't fast, he should have said the opposite. If it can't be a nitche, you should fast even on Shabbat. See, Bishlama, if you learn the other way, not like Rav Chaim, that there's an absolute rule, except for Yom Kippur, you don't fast on Shabbos. And only afterwards we declare, is it nitche or not? Good. So if Rebbe holds, there's no svara of nitche, you're not going to fast at all, and that's what the Gemara means, Bikesh Rebbe, Laker Tisha B'Av. But according to Rav Chaim, that the Isser of Tainus B'Shabbos is a tight saw of the fact that you could be Deicha. If Rebbe holds, you don't say Dechia, then instead of saying, let's not have Tisha B'Av, the logical result is, since I hold, you can't be Deicha Tanesim, you fast on Shabbos. It's a kasha in Rav Chaim, huh?
But why is it Bishlam if you say the other way? Then why should you fast? Why should you fast on Shabbos?
No, no. So that was, if you didn't learn. Okay, so I didn't say an ultimate svara for that. But if you didn't learn like Rav Chaim, we would learn like the average Ram, that Bietzam Hayom, or we would interpret the average Ram that Bietzam Hayom says a direct statement to you to fast on Shabbos. In other words, it's only Rav Chaim's explanation of the average Ram that's a contradiction to that Gemara. Yeah.
Who's about the Sarvativus that makes it so that something that doesn't.
I'll get to that because we haven't really said any svara for that yet, but I'm just going to Chaim's Lumdus. So the emes is, there's an Or Sameach, Rameir Simcha adds another svara to the mix here. And Rameir Simcha says the following. Rameir Simcha brings the Mabit that says that fasting on Shabbos is an Isser Dairaisa. If it is only if it's a fast meyes liyes, 24-hour fast. But if it's only a fast from sunrise to the end of the day, and kal v'chaimer if it's till chatzais or after chatzais, that's only an isser drabanan. That's not an isser diarais. In other words, right? The taina is that the mabit is mechalek between a meyes liyes and a tainus that's not meyes liyes. Now, Mimela, if you combine the Mabit with Rav Chaim, we have the following, maybe we can make the following Sirif of Svaris. What is Rav Chaim's Lumdus? Rav Chaim's Lumdus is that a fast that doesn't have Tashlumin, right? A fast that doesn't have Tashlumin, we would even fast on Shabbos. But maybe that Svara is a Svara only when the Isser of Tainus is in itself Drabanan. When the Isser of Tainus becomes a Dairaisa, then whether there's Tashlumen or not Tashlumen, you won't be able to fast. That is the chilek, it turns out, between Asara B'Teves and Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a Meyes Lies fast. So again, what does Rav Chaim say? Rav Chaim says, the what's the lumbus of Asara B'Teves, since you can't make it up, so a fast that you cannot make up, you can even fast on Shabbos. So here's the taina. When will we say the svara that a fast you cannot make up, you can even do on Shabbos? Only a fast that's not an Isser D'Oraisa, that's not Meyes Lies. But a fast like Tisha B'Av, that's Meyes Lies, even if you couldn't do it on Shabbos. Now, we hold you do. I'm sorry. Even if you couldn't do it on Sunday. Now, we hold you could do it on Sunday, but Rebbe's Shita that you couldn't do it on Sunday, right? Rebbe would say you still couldn't do it on Shabbos, and that's why it's Bikesh Rebbe La'akar Tisha B'Av. Right? So Memela, it turns out that Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tavis are very different. Both of them have a common denominator, like Rebbe. Both have a common denominator that you don't do it on Sunday, right? Because Rebbe holds even Tisha B'Av, you don't do it on Sunday. But the consequence is different. Asara B'Tavis you don't do on Sunday. Rav Chaim says you'll do on Shabbos. Tisha B'Av that falls out on Sunday, you will not do on Shabbos. And that's Bikesh Lachar. And Remer Simcha brings a tremendous deal to this. Because L'chaira like this. L'chaira, Shiva Asar B'Tamuz always falls out the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. 3 weeks. So, if Rebbe wanted to be Mevatel Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, then why doesn't the Gemara say Rebbe wanted to be Mevatel Shiva Asar B'Tamuz? Because that fell out on Shabbos. The answer is Pashut. Also, it's a Sichul Chiddush. According to Rebbe, when Shiva Asar B'Tamuz fell out on Shabbos, according to Rebbe, Rebbe doesn't allow Dechia, they actually, or Rebbe would hold, the Chum didn't pass them, but they actually fasted on Shabbos. So, good. He fasted on Shabbos. The Chacham didn't agree with that. But he wasn't Mevatel Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. It's only the fast of Meyesh Liyesh, right? So the tzirup all of that. But the bottom line with this, the bottom line is still a very perplexing rule. Whether we go with Reb Chaim's Lumdus, or whether we go with the other Pshat, whether we look at, because of Tashlumin, there's no Dechia, there's no fasting on Shabbos, or the other way. Since there's no fasting in Shabbos, that's why you're given Tashlumin and Asar B'Teves, you don't have that. We still have a problem. Why should Asar B'Teves have a bigger Chumrah, right? A bigger Chumrah than Tisha B'Av itself? I mean, bottom line is that Tisha B'Av, we have Tashlumin, and because there's Tashlumin, we don't fast on Shabbos, but Asar B'Teves not. So, like the Mabit, there's a Shtikol Yisha, because fasting Mi'eis Li'eis is an Isser D'Oraisa. So essentially what we're saying is, you can't be over an Isser D'Oraisa to fulfill the fast. Asar B'Teves precisely because it's not an Isser D'Oraisa, right? So that would be some of a Hezra. But it seems there would be a deeper explanation as well. It seems to be a deeper explanation that since Asar B'Teves is Kailo, not only Nebuchadnezzar's beginning of the siege, but it's Kailo, the death of Ezra, and it's Kailo the Targum HaShivim. So essentially, in Shiva Asar B'Tamuz are Tomun, the causative factors of the Korban. I'm sorry. In Asar B'Teves is Tomun, the Sibais of the Korban, the Histalkus of Tzadikim, the weakening of Torah Shabbal Peh, which of course is Ezra, the fact that Jews were assimilated, which is the Targum of the Shivim in Yevanim. So even though it's interesting, if you were an observer there, nothing really happened in Asar B'Teves. Remember, Asar B'Teves, there was no victory. I mean, the Goyim were not victorious. They began a siege. I mean, they didn't break into the city till Tammuz, 3 years later. So nothing bad actually happened in Asar B'Teves. In other words, there was no open tragedy. No Jew died. Nobody was killed in Asar B'Teves. Right? And yet, Chazal are saying that you have to be misabel much more over the sibais of the Chorban, even more than the actual manifestation of the Chorban itself, because it is the spiritual weaknesses that are gairam the Chorban. And Chazal Bedafka wanted to emphasize this by picking a day in which there was no physical destruction at all. Now Tisha B'Av also has sibais of the Chorban, the Dor HaMidbar, the Cheder Meraglim. But with Tisha B'Av, it's very easy to be thinking about the tragedies that befell us in a physical way. Asar B'Teves, there was no tragedy that happened in a physical way. Nothing really happened that day. But Chazal are saying that you're misbinding on the Sibais HaChorban, and therefore the Avelus is even greater. But as I say, like the Mabit, you actually have a simpler halachic answer, and that is, the Mabit says that, my teretz is not a good teretz. I was going to say that Tisha B'Av is Me'es Li'es, and that's why you can't fast on Shabbos, but that doesn't affirm for why Asar B'Teves is different than Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. Shiva Asar B'Tamuz is also not Me'es Li'es, and you don't fast on Shabbos. In other words, this could differentiate why even though Tisha B'Av is so chomer, you don't fast on Shabbos precisely because it's Me'etz L'Yeis, but that doesn't yet differentiate Shivas Arba Tamas from Asar B'Teves. But the Svar I'm saying does a little bit, because Shivas Arba Tamas has physical manifestations of Tzar. Hufka Ho'ir, Batal Atamid. Asar B'Teves has no physical manifestation of suffering, and therefore it's totally a spiritual day to be mispainain over the sibais of the korban. Okay, but that's what Moshe shows you, this idea that Rav Chaim's Yisayit and the Kach of the Gemara Megillah, and how based on the Mabit, one could be mechalik between the two. Yeah.
It's the idea that Chasvei Shabbos, all Shabbos is a derisa.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
Well, he says that he says actually it's halacha most we see now. But when the Navi says karesu l'Shabbos einik, that Shabbos has to be an einik, and fasting is a stira to einik, so he says that the Navi is not just making a new takana b'nevua, because that's lo b'shamayim he, but rather it's a getter of a halacha l'moshe misinai, that one cannot give themselves tsar for a whole me'yes li'yes. By the way, that's why on Friday the derech klal, you know, other Tanaisim, when Tainus, you know, Tainus Esther, you know, if it's a Friday, we fast on Thursday, because there is a rule, we don't want to be nichnas to Shabbos in a state of deprivation, because that also means that the first beginning of Shabbos will be tzar. So already you have a shtickle, right? I mean, again, you don't have, Avi Dram says you would even fast on Shabbos, but I mean, the very fact that you fast on Friday, even though you're nichnas l'Shabbos Meuna, is a partial proof that we're not concerned with Einik Shabbos in this context. Yeah, yeah.
In terms of the chilek that there'll be in terms of Me'ez L'Yeis or not Me'ez,
yeah.
I think if I'm not mistaken, we're asking that a few of Shal Achaz, if his kavanah is to be.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Also awesome.
But that would be only Drabbanan. That's what he's saying. In other words, the Mabit is saying only a Tainus Me'ez L'Yeis is an Isra D'Oraisa. So since it's an Isra D'Oraisa, then even a fast day that has no touch lumen, meaning if Asar B'Teves would have been 24 hours long, and we would combine it with that you can't reschedule it, we would taka say you don't fast. In other words, that's what the Ursamech is saying. The Avudraham's din, that your Misana B'Shabbos, is only because since it's not a Tainus Me'ez L'Yeis, so it's only an Isra D'Rabbanan. So for Asar B'Teves, for the reason I said, the Chachamim reminded their Gezeira even on Shabbos. Good. No, Maskim is an Isha D'Rabbanan, but the Doraisa is, the Halacha Moshe Misinai, is only a Tainus Me'ez L'Yeis.
Possible that way, that it's Doraisa to fast on Shabbos?
It seems not. It seems the Mabit is a Das Yachid. I actually don't, I mean, this Halacha is based on the Mabit, but it seems that we paskin that the Yisra of Tainus on Shabbos is midrabanan. It's not a Doraisa. Yeah. Now it's brought down that a Tainus Chalayim you fast on Shabbos if you're Bitzar. On the other hand, a Tainus Chalayim is also not a Tainus Me'ez L'Yeis. And the halacha is a strange halacha. It says if you fast a Tainus Chalayim on Shabbos, you have to have another fast. You're allowed to fast. And you have to have another fast for the Avera of fasting on Shabbos.
That also can't be a
mitzvah. That's part of the getter. Right? That's actually what one of the Raya's Rav Chaim brings. Rav Chaim says that the Yisayit of a Tainus Chalayim is a Tainus Chalayim is effective only if it's the day after the dream. Memela, it doesn't have Tashlumin. Memela, you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. That's what Rav Chaim Gupa says. Now again, but only because it's not a Me'ez L'Yeis. So that's
then
a thing.
What, on the time, why should you then have Tashlumin for the times?
Which time?
Time is
no, he says, Me'ez L'Yeis, he says, you don't have Tashlumin for time is for. That's what I'm saying. No, so you fast on Shabbos. Oh, why do you have to have another fast for Kapara?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's not so clear. That's a good kasha. I mean, but that's a sure halacha anyway. Because why do I have to be misaneh for something I'm allowed to do? I mean, that's a kasha without Reb Chaim. I mean, mimanushab. If I'm allowed to do it, it doesn't say if you were over on the issur of fasting and Shabbos, you got to have another fast. It says no, you are allowed to do it, and you have to have a fast. Right? So that's a bichlal. That's a sure halacha.
Same concept as of another? Bring a carbon?
No, but that's a little different, because we could say the Nazir shouldn't have become a Nazir. In other words, a Nazir brings a Korban because it may have been a sin to become a Nazir, because he's Mitzayras Mimunayayim. But here, the guy, unless you're going to go back and say, well, he must be a bit of a rusher because he has a bad dream, unless you go that far. But if the dream just came to him, at that point he's fasting, you know, he did nothing wrong in the pool of fasting, but still it's considered to be a pagam in the Kedusha Shabbos, the Simcha of Shabbos.
You could say the dream isn't a sin, but you could say that the fasting on Shabbos was a sin, but to choose to fast.
But he can't, he's, what do you mean choose? He has.
He doesn't have a seed to fast after the dream.
He doesn't have a seed, but if fast. It's an optional fast, but if it's Mitzayer him, you know.
But he still doesn't have to, like he chose to fast on Shabbos where he didn't have to.
Well, it's not so much. I mean, some say it is a chiyuv. Some describe it differently. Some describe the Titus Cholim as a chiyuv, but it's not a chiyuv that we're machayev you to do if it's hard for you. You know, but it is a chiyuv, but it's a chiyuv that we're that Titus Mavater on. You know, it's not so clear what we would describe it as a rishus. I mean, I think we have Meisim to Chabetz Chaim would pass Titus Cholim on Shabbos. Of course, the Chabetz Chaim's dreams were always the Vus, so you know, I guess that. You have to take it more seriously, maybe, than our dreams. Okay.